We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank. Coming up, the latest in sports betting from KC Sports Network, featuring Benny and the Bets. Hosted by local media personality and betting aficionado, Benny Heisler. Let's get to the show.
What's up? Happy post-NFL draft to all of you guys that are tuning in today for a brand new edition of Benny and the Bets. I am the Benny, the show is the Bets, and I am joined by one of the great minds in betting, the senior content creator at Gaming Society, Kate Majuk. She is here with us on the program today. We are going through some of our favorite NFL futures post-draft, maybe take a look at some offensive and defensive rookie of the year futures to consider. And just, I love talking ball with Kate because she's awesome. So she's here with us today. What's up, Kate? Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you so much for having me, especially to talk about some of like the odds and lines we finally have out. We can finally bet on these rookies that we've spent endless hours speculating. We finally have some landing spots. Like, this is still one of my favorite times of the year. Infinite possibilities.
Right. Like, there's still so much high anticipation. We haven't made the determination if any of these like top 15 picks are going to suck yet, which the numbers indicate that a handful of these guys, Kate, are going to be bad. We just can't see that in our rearview mirror yet. We're still on that road to trying to determine that all 31 picks are going to be, you know, game changers for their prospective franchises.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's so interesting too in this post-draft period, because you have all these franchises coming out and telling you, you know, how many rookies they had first round grades on. Like, theoretically it should be, I guess, this year 31, but like, you always hear these weird numbers, like, you know, low numbers of, you know, was this a good draft class? Was this a bad draft class? How are these teams scouting these players? And I feel like, generally speaking, the consensus that I've seen is that GMs weren't like particularly hot in terms of their first round player evaluation. So interesting to see how that shakes up. But you know what? No matter how many suck, how many are good, we're still going to have an offensive rookie and defensive rookie of the year. Like, it's just, it's
someone's got to win it.
Somebody has to win it. It's like the Super Bowl, right? Like, you might get a really bad Super Bowl, but there is going to be a winner eventually. Like, it's just going to happen.
So one thing I wanted to ask you about, because I think it pertains really well to the concept that you guys are doing at Gaming Society. And for anybody that isn't following Kate on Twitter yet, shame on you. You need to absolutely be doing that. At Kate Majuk, KateMajdziuk. You should also be following the Gaming Society as well on Twitter and on social media as well. You know, I think what I love about your site, and we've had conversations about this over the last several months, is that there is a meaningful connection between finding ways to talk about sports betting with an audience that is eager to learn more without feeling like you're only part of a very select group of people that are on the inside. Like, you and I both agree that this is a space that needs to be more inclusive, more inviting, and more willingness to be able to have fun with the content. So with regards to the NFL draft, like, from a content perspective, like, what were you guys looking at? What was moving the needle for you guys leading up to a key major event in the NFL?
It always comes back to these player storylines. I think first and foremost, like, I think that's the heart and blood of the entire industry, is getting to know these players, getting to know the people specifically behind the stat sheet, and getting to see what makes them tick. And I think the NFL draft is like a really special experience just in general for that regard, because we all have access to the stats, but I think a lot of what the teams are doing when they're scouting these players is, you know, take that stat sheet for what you will, but they're scouting these players' lives, their personalities, how they respond. And I think we saw a lot of really interesting players come out, and you know, like Will Levis, we saw him sitting around in the draft in the green room for over a day. How does he react to that? How does he bounce back from the fact that he went from Mr. Reddit rumor 101 down to the second round? How does he bounce back? But like, getting to know these players for the people they are and their personalities, like Bijan's Dijon, like that's the most underrated story for Bijan Robinson, that makes you realize, like, I don't know if anybody's ever just spent time scrolling through the merch store on Bijan's Dijon. I promise you, I'm not in you know, I have no affiliate deal with Bijan's Dijon, but like, he writes all the descriptions for every single item in the shop firsthand, and it's probably like, it's better content than you're going to be reading on any other site any other day. But pieces like that give you glimpses as to like, who is Bijan as a person. I spent so much time prepping Will Levis's draft profile on his TikTok of all places, because I got to know a lot about him based on what kind of content he, you know, how he presents himself to the media. It's not all about the stat sheet, but you know, getting the insight to the characters and falling in love with these players for who they are, like, regardless of whether your bets hit or not, like, finding the stories you like to root for, I think is so important, you know, even in sports betting, you know, which can be such an analytical approach. Like, there can be a narrative approach too that can be equally as fun to engage with, if not more.
I think that's incredibly well said. And for anybody that might counter with, well, yeah, me knowing the player isn't going to matter as to whether or not my bet hits or not, maybe in certain aspects that's true, but more often than not, social media in particular will give a different glimpse into an athlete or a celebrity's world that maybe you gain a different type of insight. Maybe there's a day game in Major League Baseball and you see somebody's Instagram page or their Snapchat that they've been out late. Maybe you get a little bit of a different perspective. Maybe that person may not be in the starting lineup that day. Or maybe they're going to be running a little bit more sluggish around the base pass. These are different things where information is information. It all depends on how you want to be able to use it and relate to it and connect with it. And like you said, so much of these stories are about feelings and connections and community that you might as well find the different avenues of it. And that's the type of content that you guys are creating. So salute to you guys on the journey, because it's been a lot of fun to read.
Thank you so much. It's a unique, I think, approach that, you know, not everybody's like, you know, we're not disregarding analytics by any stretch. We want people to become educated bettors, but I think we also, you know, want there to be an element where people can connect emotionally with the idea of sports betting. Like, sports betting is so fun because inherently it just gives us another way to interact with a sport that we already love. Like, that is what sports betting does at its core. We can analyze it to death. We can hit you with all the metrics, but really you're connecting in with a sport you love in a new and wholesome way. And I think underrating the emotional aspect of that, I don't know, you can miss out. I never like to bet on players that I don't want to root for or that I'm not actively rooting against. Like, I want to feel something in my heart. I want to feel the tingly. So I think it's definitely an interesting approach, but it can be, I think, one of the most fun ones is to find these stories that you resonate with and love.
No doubt about it. I'm really glad we're having this conversation. I apologize for anybody that's listening, apparently my dog has seen multiple squirrels outside. So
very opinionated in terms of sports betting. Very opinionated. He's pro analytics and does not like what I have to say here about the emotional connection. Am I picking up on that?
It's just a little bit. I mean, she's very much a straight line runner. I still am convinced that, you know, if they ever decide to make an Air Bud remake, it'd be good to get a little bit more female representation. Luna could absolutely step up and do a great job. She's got, you know, terrific athleticism, gets a little distracted at times. But ultimately, you know, the herder in her is likely going to be able to move everything along. But again, I don't want to go full on Mel Kiper, Matt Miller in this scenario, because there's only so much content that our viewers can take from me when it comes to talking about my dog. But let's go through these divisions, because you have a lot of intriguing storylines post-draft. And then, of course, after we're done with the divisions, I do want to get Kate's perspective on who she likes in the offense and defensive rookie of the year considerations in this early futures market. So let's start with the NFC East. And I got a lot of, I'm trying to think of the right word, but I laughed when I saw the story come out that a bunch of NFL executives, Kate, are all upset that Howie Roseman is being universally praised for his draft, to which my response was sort of twofold. The first is, do better. If you don't want that, do your job better. And B, if NFL people are mad that other GMs are getting high praise from the draft, these executives, like, they're never allowed to call an NFL player soft ever again. Ever again. If you're complaining about that aspect, you need to sort of do your job a little bit better and maybe start focusing on what's actually important. Having said that, the Eagles still remain monster favorites. Best number that I've seen for them to win the division is still at plus odds at DraftKings at plus 115. And then you have the Cowboys behind them at plus 175. Giants at plus 500. Obviously, they took a major step with both Brian Daboll in his first year and Daniel Jones. He gets the massive extension. And then Washington in a bit of an intriguing spot. They declined the fifth-year option on Chase Young. But I still think they have some pieces there that you're always looking for sort of those teams that can kind of come out of nowhere and surprise. I still think Washington has that chance. I just don't know if it's necessarily for the division. Post-draft, looking at the NFC East, are you looking at it as this is Philly's to lose and anything else would be kind of gravy at this point?
I think if you're, to be clear, I'm projecting Philly as the NFC East winner, but I still think Dallas at right now plus 170 odds on DraftKings right now. Interesting underdog that I think nobody's really even considering, despite the fact that I think Jerry Jones is proving out to, you know, be just putting together a really quite balanced NFL roster. Obviously, you know, with the departure of Zeke, I think that actually opens things up. Like, they're not going to shoot themselves in the foot just for the sake of being committed to Ezekiel Elliott. I think Brandon Cooks as a receiver, as a speedy option, was something they very, very much needed. I think this entire offense, is just looking really solid. They've got all the playmakers they need at defense. Like, it just feels like it's kind of goofy not to keep them more closely aligned in this conversation.
You know, Dallas makes a lot of sense, Cade, only in the sense that you're right. The offense is really talented. You still know the type of playmakers that they have on the defensive side of the ball. And with Philadelphia, they didn't really deal with a whole lot of injury issues from a season ago. And they have a lot of veterans on their team. Talent perspective, I still think they edge out Dallas really on both sides. But a couple injuries here and there for Philadelphia, and the Dallas gets off to a new and improved start. Maybe you have some concerns about the offensive play calling with Kellen Moore gone, but I certainly don't mind them. I think the question is, if you want to bet Dallas, do you do it sooner rather than later, given if we expect Philadelphia maybe to start off a little slower than expectations?
I think you probably do it later. So I think this is one of those bets that you probably put in your back pocket while you continue to allow this hype, this never-ending hype train that is the Philadelphia Eagles, let that take off a little bit further. And I do think we're probably going to continue to see those odds shift throughout this offseason. And, like, I think generally speaking, we know this NFC East is going to be competitive. We saw that this season. It was incredible to watch. But I do think that bettors are very excited about what Howie Roseman's building, as are, you know, all of these GMs that can't stop griping about it.
All right. So from the NFC East to the AFC East, I don't think there's value on the Jets right now because of the nature of acquiring Aaron Rodgers and all the hype and hoopla that comes along with bringing him in. Buffalo still at plus odds to me is the play. There's an aspect right now of Josh Allen and then adding Dalton Kincaid to an already electric offense. I think there's a little bit of FU mindset coming in from Josh Allen this year, where for the first time in a long time, there's a perception that he's no longer one of the top tier guys, that he can't deliver when it matters most, that his teammates are starting to turn against him. And those moments of previous years have proven to be building grounds for Josh Allen to overcome it, as opposed to being let down in that moment. Am I reading too much into this? Do you still look at Buffalo as they're deserving to be the favorites, and looking at the Jets in that perspective, probably a little too much hype given all the uncertainty and all the changes? And in particular, I don't think they had a good draft either.
Now, I'm actually going to probably surprise you here. So I like the narratives around the Bills. I like this sort of underdog mentality. I think we saw this team come together in what was an incredibly beautiful way. Like, we saw the kinship that this team has with one another. Added Damian Harris, added Connor McGovern, had a couple of just low-key adds. But I do think they lost a couple of pieces that between Tremaine Edmonds, like Devin Singletary, not necessarily a guy who's taken over the offense at any point, but he's been a very solid asset. Do I think like the scales haven't really shifted all that much? I think Dalton Kincaid, love the ad. But, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say that I think there's a little bit of value for the Miami Dolphins. And I don't want everybody to hop in my mentions here with the concerns here, but Miami Dolphins plus 290, those are pretty decent profits. I think when we're looking at an offense that if Tua Tagovailoa stays healthy, I think has pretty much, like, I'm trying to find the holes in this offense. I'm trying to find the holes in this defense. Had the trade for Jalen Ramsey, Bradley Chubb last season. Thought that was just a generally underrated move. And, you know, Devin Achane in this draft was probably one of the biggest, like, duh picks in this entire draft because it just felt so on brand. He's this super speedy running back who, like, that was, like, their one area where they really needed some youth. And, like, and guess what? Now they have their speedy running back who fits the scheme just as well as Raheem Mostert. Like, yeah. It feels like all of the building blocks are here, and it feels like when we saw Tua healthy, this team was on a very high trajectory. Like, there were points where it looked like Tua might be taking home MVP because he's got two of the best wide receivers in the entire NFL. Now you round out that running game a little bit. You add another piece on defense, which I think is key to help out Xavier Howard. Like, there's just not a lot that I don't like about this team. So the odds being as unbalanced as they are, given the end to the Bills season, feels like there's some value there.
Miami's really interesting. And while I buy into the talent on the offensive side of the ball, the almost like luxury of riches that they now have at corner, because remember, their first pick in the draft was Cam Smith out of South Carolina. So now you have Ramsey, now you have Howard, you have Smith. You know, you can probably slot him into the slot at this point. And now you have really, really good corners. We assume Smith is going to be able to pan out. I might give it a little bit more thought. The one concern about Miami is I worry with McDaniel that there could be something similar to what we saw with Stefanski in Cleveland, where year one, everything worked really well, right? Like, the scheme was a success. the players and the talent were there. How do you adjust in year two? And I can't help but wonder if an improved Jets team, Buffalo with a chip on their shoulder, and even the Patriots to a certain extent might start to be able to better scout Miami in year two with McDaniel. I worry a little bit that especially if Tua isn't consistently healthy, if they do take a step back. But I think there's some really compelling points, like from a talent perspective, they can do it. And you're talking to somebody who at one point jumped on Tua at 80-1 to win MVP. And that blew up very, very quickly in my face. Let's take a quick break. We got more with Gabe Maju from Gaming Society going through the divisions post-NFL draft, going over some of our futures, and also stick around. We'll go through our favorite futures for offensive and defensive player of the year. You're locked in. It's Benny on the Bets right here on KCSN.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
All right, Kate, let's talk a little NFC North as we continue on in our divisional tour. I thought the Bears had a very good draft. I thought Darnell Wright was a key position of need. The question that I think Bears fans still are trying to wrap their heads around is, you let Philadelphia in and only got a fourth-round pick to take arguably the most talented player in the draft in Jalen Carter. At a position of need, we've heard constantly that the three technique, that defensive tackle, that disruptor, is the key to Matt Eberflus's defense. To me, I think by passing on him, it was always evident that no matter how good of a fit or how talented the player, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, they're going to go and get their guys. I think if you have that type of conviction, it matters because you know exactly what you're looking for. However, Lions still likely to win that division based off the odds. They're plus 140. One book has them at plus 155. Then the Vikings and the Bears. And then Green Bay. It seems weird to see the Packers all the way down in that plus 400, plus 500 territory if you're looking at DraftKings. Do you still look at the Lions as the undisputed class of the NFC North, given a pretty strange first round?
Definitely a very strange first round. Like, there was no, I don't think there were any picks that had me gay. What? Like these two first round picks of the Detroit Lions, because I think, you know, cumulatively, things, I think, balanced out closer to the end of the draft, but for what they had in terms of draft capital, it just didn't feel like they did much at all with it. I still think overall, though, looking at the Detroit Lions roster head to toe, probably not one that I want to bet against at this point. The Vikings, huge question marks there as to where they're going. They got Jordan Addison in the first round, which was such a I think a great fit is going to fit right into the slot, straight out of the gate. But they also have some questions like, you know, Dalvin Cook, is he going to be traded from the roster? What are they doing with Kirk Cousins? Is this maybe a team that's going to be in contention for that Trey Lance trade so we can get Kirk back with Kyle Shanahan? Like, we don't, I think there's too many question marks when it comes to the Vikings. The Bears, this is all going to depend on Justin Fields and whether or not he takes the next step. Generally speaking, I think they've done, you know, some of the right things to put him in a spot to test him and see what his chances are at success between, you know, the move for DJ Moore, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet could take another big leap forward, I think, as he continues to progress in his NFL career. The run game's pretty solid. It's just, does it all come together? And it's a big question mark. I think we have the fewest question marks in this division about the Lions. But the only thing that has me a little bit worried, and this might be a very bizarre thing, but the entire issue surrounding their the sports gambling query in that that building, it was weird. Multiple players suspended, the fact that there were multiple staff members it almost feels like a cultural thing. Like, I'm totally speaking off the cuff here, but from a just outsider looking in, it doesn't look like that's the kind of culture that you're looking to promote for your roster, which, again, they fired multiple staffers. Like, they took the steps to rectify this, but something that had my ears just like perked up a little bit and to say, what's going on in Detroit? Like, very weird, but on paper, they're doing all the right things.
I think that's a really interesting observation, especially given their mindset under Dan Campbell has always been like, focus, block everything out, like, overachieve. And yes, like,
us against the world, bite the kneecaps.
When your organization has those types of missteps, and those are pretty clear missteps, like Calvin Ridley being suspended for a year for gambling, that should have opened the eyes of everybody in the NFL, knowing that this could impact every team, every player, every coach. If you think you're doing this off cover outside of the or inside the stadium and you think you get away with it, you can't. So I can't help but wonder as to whether or not that app, like, we always talk about like the bullshit distractions, right? Like, oh, we don't know if we want to bring in so-and-so because he might be a distraction. No, this is an actual distraction.
Yes.
So I think if there's not an ability for Detroit to galvanize as a result of this, they could be, at least they're helped out by the fact that the division is bad, right?
Yeah, that very much.
They could get off to a bad start and still find their way to it, kind of how they did last year. The question is whether or not, you know, another team steps up along the way. But I think that's a really astute observation about Detroit. It's part of the reason that I'm probably a stay away from this division.
Yes, very much.
You don't have to necessarily bet any of these teams unless you have conviction on a Minnesota improving their defense or Justin Fields taking that next step. Or if Jordan Love is the guy, you really want to go there. I suppose you can. I'm just not going to go ahead and join there with you. To the AFC North, a division near and dear to your heart. Bengals are clearly the division favorites, hanging around plus 120. Then you have Baltimore with the newly extended Lamar Jackson. Cleveland in that plus 350 range. And then Pittsburgh, plus 650, who you can make an argument that from a draft standpoint, Pittsburgh knocked it out of the park and continued to do so in Omar Khan's first year. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if Pittsburgh can beat out Cincinnati for the division, but I think plus 650 for this team, especially when you've seen with young quarterbacks taking steps in the right direction in year two, with Mike Tomlin never having a losing season, I don't think they should be in the basement of that division. I expect that Pittsburgh will be a team that will be in contention. I just don't know whether or not they can get to the top of the top. But I think there's value. I think there's good players on Pittsburgh, and I'm not afraid to lay a little pizza money on them as a surprise team to win this division.
I mean, in terms of like looking at teams for values, right? If you're scouting values, Pittsburgh Steelers have to be one of the best values in the league right now, just because, as you mentioned, very successful draft. If I do say so myself, I'm not trying to be biased here, but I think, you know, addressed a lot of positional needs. Like, I was kind of scratching my head a little bit at Broderick Jones, not scratching my head, but it just felt to me like cornerback was a greater need. Gonzalez was still on the board. Like, but then you get Joey Porter in the second and suddenly everything comes together and it looks like this master plan the entire time and it worked out. I think, you know, just by nature of this team, by nature of the coach, this is a team that's really always going to be in contention, even when they're not necessarily supposed to be. My biggest worry is definitely the offense at this point. And can Matt Canada or can this offense step forward in spite of Matt Canada? Not can he do anything to help this offense, because I've given up hope there. But I do think if we're going to see Kenny Pickett take the next step, even with the tools that they've put in place, like, you know, I think that the question mark for me is Matt Canada. And if they don't make the playoffs this year, which I, again, still in the realm of possibility, even last year for a season that was just a disaster, it came down to the wire whether or not they'd make the playoffs. So like maybe if you're looking to get your toes wet on a little bit of plus money, but you're not ready to dive straight in, they are plus 152 right now to make the playoffs. So maybe you think they'll come into one of these, you know, wild card seeds. They're not going to go for a big run. But again, under Mike Tomlin, this is a team that has been perennially competitive. And if I'm being honest, I still think, and maybe this is like my AFC North bias coming out, I would have pegged the Cleveland Browns to be, I think, a little bit closer to the Steelers in terms of their odds projection here, in terms of how many people are betting on the Cleveland Browns right now to win the AFC. It's got to be just Browns fans, right?
Right. And as we know from Browns fans, they're loud and proud of their team. And maybe from a financial standpoint, they've already sunk money into, you know, their season tickets and everything else Browns related. Maybe they're filling up some of those Ohio sports books as well.
If you looked at what they saw in 2022, right? Like, you couldn't have liked what you saw.
No, not at all.
It's do they bounce back from that? Because we saw a lot of potential with Kevin Stefanski. Obviously, we know the ceiling of Deshaun Watson, but like the guy took a pretty long break from playing football. Like, we can't keep ignoring that. Obviously, can he, you know, knock some more of that rust off and start to look like, you know, Watson of old? Like, maybe. But I think for a team that looked as disastrous as they did, that's, you know, the odds are pretty interesting there.
Do the Saints deserve to be clear-cut, undisputed favorites in the NFC South?
No.
It's plus 110. It's plus 125 at the highest level. The division stinks, Kate, but if you're telling me that just because Derek Carr is there, that all of a sudden we're looking at the Saints as the runaway favorites in this division, I'm not buying what they're selling.
This is actually kind of a division that, generally speaking, outside of one team, which I'll get to that in a minute, but like, this feels kind of like the way that we're looking at the NFC North, right? With the Lions being decent favorites and everybody else just kind of being like, you know, it just, none of these teams feel super great. But I do think if you're going to bet on one team, you've got to roll with the Atlanta Falcons, plus 300 on FanDuel Sportsbook. And I do think, like, top to bottom, when you're looking at this roster, and no, I'm not just saying this because Bijan Robinson happened to be drafted there, though he's certainly not going to hurt your cause. I don't know how much he necessarily helps it. Not that he's not a totally generational running back, but like, I think in terms of what they're generally building. Like, I think they have a distinct vision for how they want their team to operate. They want to be a run heavy, efficient offense. And they've taken all of the building blocks and stacked them, I think, quite nicely in terms of what they have to do to take this team to the next level. Now, like, just across the board, off-season additions, you know, this defense is starting to look a little bit scary. Like, everything's, I think, coming together to paint a very cohesive picture. They're telling me a story with the way that they're putting their roster together. And at plus 300, like, yeah, I'll take, you know, add in Calais Campbell. They take a shot on Jeff Okuda for literally nothing. Add in Jesse Bates. Like, this is starting to look like a really well-balanced team, and we have to start taking them seriously. I'm not buying into the Derek Carr Kool-Aid.
I'm not either. I liked the Saints going into the season last year because I thought the defense was going to be good enough to be able to keep them in games. Just never happened. And then you saw wild inconsistencies on the offensive side. And I like Carr, but I think Carr a lot of times is sort of the victim of the circumstance and what's around him. And I'm not necessarily sure I look at what's around him as something that's going to completely elevate the rest of this offense. You know, Atlanta's intriguing. I'm not buying it on Carolina right now. I think as much polish as Young has, it's still a rookie quarterback who's going to be starting on week one, and more often than not, that doesn't lead to positive results at the very beginning. And then Tampa Bay, like, that's such a wild card. Nobody has any clue, and given what oddsmakers are projecting, they're not projecting much with Baker as the current starter. We're going to take one more break. We got three more divisions to go with the AFC South. Of course, we'll talk about the Chiefs' perspective post-draft with Kate coming up on the other side. And we need some picks for Offensive and Defensive Rookie of the Year. Stay with us. You're listening to Benny and the Bets right here on KCSN.
You're listening to KC Sports Network. We'll be right back after this.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta, because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members, because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
At Outback Steakhouse, your wish is our command. Backed by popular demand, steak and lobster at a special price starting at $19.99. Come enjoy our bold center-cut sirloin seasoned with our signature blend of 17 spices and paired with a buttery, succulent lobster tail. Hurry into Outback Steakhouse where your steak and lobster wishes come true at a price you can't miss. Steak and lobster, starting at $19.99. No rules, just right.
Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
All right, Ben Heisler, Kate Majuk of Gaming Society. Kate's been awesome with her time today in going through all these different divisions. Well, I don't know if I necessarily want to spend a lot of time, to be completely honest, on the AFC South. There's none of these teams other than Jacksonville excite me, and the odds with Jacksonville do not excite me. Best number I've seen right now is right around minus 150. After that, it's Tennessee in the plus 350, 375 range. Colts are way, way down. And as much as I love how they approach the draft this year, and I'm a big Anthony Richardson fan, I that's a guy that's going to take some time. And then it's still the Texans. They're going to do Texan things. And as much as it's D'Amico Ryan's going to be able to make an impact with turning that team around, and I like the picks of Stroud and Anderson. There's a reason that they're 10-1 to win this division at DraftKings. So do you have any conviction outside of Jacksonville as a team that might be able to make some noise in this division? Or should we just say it's Jacksonville and move on?
For me, it's Jacksonville and move on. I think it just in general, this is a team that's more well-balanced. I think what we saw last year out of Trevor Lawrence in that second year leap, amazing what kind of good things can happen when you're not being led by a guy like Urban Meyer. Like that second year leap was absolutely tremendous. He is far and away the best quarterback in this division, at least for now. We're going to see, I think, just continued excellence from the Jaguars in terms of their development of this, you know, relatively young roster. And I think this is going to be Jaguars and out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I will say this, though. Like, I don't know if Houston will finish in last. I do expect sizable improvement from them. Like, but we're talking about like maybe 5-6 wins. It's not going to be anything that's competing at the division level. Like, I can see Houston losing a lot of close games. Like, they're going to be, I think they're going to be a really good.
They were a pain in the side of a lot of these teams that they played throughout the season. Like,
yeah,
it felt like 2023 or 2022 could have gone differently for these teams. So, like, I don't know, maybe it, you know, betting on their over under for win totals. Let's take a look at what that would look like. Right now they're over 5.5 wins at -144 odds.
Yeah, I would take that.
That feels about right.
Uh-huh. I agree with you. I think they're going to be like a 6, maybe 7 win team. You know, like Detroit the last couple of years, despite not having a great win-loss record, has been like a top 3 team against the spread. I can kind of see Houston going in that direction. Because I think Stroud's going to be a really good player. I really like him. He would have been probably my top quarterback prospect overall. I love the tape of him at Ohio State, and he's going to have some more weapons, and Damian Pierce is going to be able to help in that backfield. Like there's some dudes on Houston. It's just a matter of whether or not organizationally I trust them, but I trust Miko Ryans and I trust their quarterback. So I do think you'll see some steps. I just don't know if it'll be enough to get to that point, even with just sweet, sweet odds. A couple more divisions to get to. Of course, we'll get into the AFC West, talk about the Chiefs in just a second. But on the other side, in the NFC West, give me your perspective there. You have the 49ers that are moving forward with Brock Purdy over the number 3 pick from a handful of years ago in Trey Lance. Seattle had a dream season last year. You can't help but wonder if there's going to be a bit of a jump down. They went ahead and took another running back after Ken Walker had such a good year from a season ago. Almost makes you wonder about what his health and availability are going to be. But I mean, you're talking about another team that you love the draft. Devin Witherspoon, really exciting cornerback. You went ahead and got the number 1 wide receiver in the draft in Jackson Smith and Jigba. I like Seattle. I just don't know. And I don't know if it's fair to Geno for me to say, do it again when he was so good a season ago. Like, do you find any other teams that could give the 49ers a run for their money? I know it's not going to be Arizona. Doubt it's going to be the Rams. Like, is there value on Seattle given that San Francisco is still going with the last pick in the 7th round as their starting quarterback this year?
And, like, that's the thing, is that we don't even know that that pick is going to be healthy. Like, the health and status of Brock Purdy still, you know, even though timelines say he should be on track, like, we're not there yet. We don't know. We have no idea where we're going to end up landing here with Brock Purdy, with his availability. Now, like we saw last year, it was just too much for them to overcome. But again, like, you have questions about the development of Trey Lance. Unless they make a you know, a move somewhere in the quarterback market, like I alluded to, a potential trade partner with the Minnesota Vikings to acquire like Kirk Cousins, you know, saying you're all willing to go in on a different quarterback, like, it is really hard to look at the 49ers and think like, all right, let's roll with them at minus odds, considering we don't know what that quarterback situation is. Now, like, we know Shanahan always figures it out, but the Seahawks, I do think, are intriguing at this moment in time at +260, because if we get closer to the season and we start to get grumblings that, like, okay, Brock Purdy might not be all as ready as we thought he would. Like, oh, well, we're not, you know, like, we don't know what we're going to see in terms of the narrative with Trey Lance. Will he be traded even? You know, if we start to get some less than positive news out of San Francisco, I do think we're going to start to see, you know, some more money placed on the Seahawks, and that'll drive down our profits, which, you know, I feel like if you're going to make the move, now is probably the time.
I agree with you completely when it comes to the timing on Seattle, that if not now, I'm not entirely sure when. But a lot of it, the caveat is the belief in Geno to be able to do it again. Like, if you believe like this is the coaching staff that got the most out of him, because I think every other part of this team you can start to feel a lot more comfortable about. Like, the playmakers are there, the defense is better. They made significant improvements. But San Francisco just, they seem to continue to find ways. And they have playmakers that can stack up with Seattle, and they've owned Seattle as well. Like, that's a team that they've given a lot of trouble with over the last handful of years and continued improvement. What about the AFC West? You still have the Chiefs that are likely going to win the division yet again. Last year, everybody was on board with the Chargers. I don't know if anybody really bought into the Broncos winning the division with the acquisition of Russ, but I think people certainly expected him to be better and for Denver to be competitive and in the playoff race. The Raiders are an unmitigated disaster at this point, and we can go ahead and just cross them off the list. But I guess not necessarily even focused on the Chiefs is whether or not you like them at minus 150 or whatever to win the division, because the answer is clearly yes for pretty much everybody. What did you think of their draft, and where do you think those pieces that they brought in can really make a difference for them as they look for yet another AFC West division?
I thought the draft was fine. Like, it didn't evoke really any sort of emotions for me. In general, I'd say it was a pretty average draft, right? Like, Adike Uzomah, Rashee Rice, I do think is a really interesting add in the second round. They took him pick 55 overall. A guy that I think, you know, in terms of a relatively small wide receiver class, like, I think could be a really interesting option. Something that I liked about Rice coming out, one of my top notes on him was that I love to watch him on scramble drills, and you know that's going to just, like, Patrick Mahomes is going to eat that up. And you know what? When you're good on scramble drills like that and you can get on the same page with your quarterback, that earns trust, that earns targets. Like, I think there's a lot of potential there with Rashee Rice, especially with such a good quarterback. But, like, the draft, I feel like, doesn't even move the needle for me in that sense, right? Like, it's Chiefs or bust. This coaching staff, much like, you know, how I alluded to the coaching staff of the Pittsburgh Steelers, like, Mike Tomlin just finds ways to get it done, even when they don't necessarily have the sexiest personnel. Like, that's what the Chiefs do, right? Like, that is what this team is built upon. That's what Kyle Shanahan does, because he's a good coach. He finds ways to win even when you're not posed in necessarily perfect situations. And I just can't see any of these teams competing. And, like, even the Chargers, like, we see them have some really exciting players time and time again, but they always find a way to charger. And for me, even with minus odds, like, I'm gonna bet my money on the Chiefs, because they're a good organization top to bottom, and they've got the best quarterback in the NFL.
Right. It would take the best quarterback in the NFL missing a significant amount of time, as well as the Chargers not charging all over themselves, to put themselves in an actual conversation to win that division. I'm right there with you. Now, I do think adding in Kellen Moore is going to make a noticeable difference for the Chargers, but Brandon Staley is still calling the shots, and the last couple of years, he has not given you much of an indication that this is somebody that you trust in critical moments, in major decisions, when it comes to the right play, the right call for it.
Like, maybe you upgraded your vehicle, but, like, you're still a bad driver. Like, you can't, you've got to switch who's in the driver's seat if you're going to, you know, it's like that little meme where the Lamborghini's in the little hut. Like, that's what it feels like, you know, is dry. We need a new driver, I think. As much excitement as I think, generally speaking, the public had for Staley, I think feels like it's time to move on. But you're right. Moore could be the missing piece. Who knows?
All right. So with all that being said, let's turn our attention to a lot of these rookies that we talked about all on one collective list. Offensive Rookie of the Year, right now, Bijan leading the way. He started off at plus 400. He's worked his way down to plus 350 at some books. mostly around plus 300. Then you got the whole list of quarterbacks, your Bryce Youngs, your CJ Strouds, Anthony Richardson, Jahmyr Gibbs, especially after the DeAndre Swift trade. His odds went way, way down, plus 900 for Rookie of the Year on the offensive side. Is there a play that you've already considered for Offensive Rookie of the Year? Is there an underdog, as my dog barks in the background, that you really, really like? Who on this list maybe intrigues you the most?
I think on this list, I still think who has the easiest pathway to the award. It feels like Bijan, like, you know, it could be a quarterback, certainly. But I think in terms of like the surrounding cast that all of these rookie quarterbacks have, like Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, they've got a ways to go, I think, in terms of building up the offensive rooms. Maybe Bryce Young, like, I don't feel strongly about either. Anthony Richardson, I'm obviously instant playmaking potential with his legs, but you got to have some concerns there that you're not going to see, that development as a passer. Like, he's so inexperienced as a quarterback in general. And then he has to make that trip to the next level. I think probably most interesting, long shot, quote unquote, bet for me, feels like Jordan Addison at plus 1700.
That's my guy.
Is it? Oh. Okay. I'm very happy to hear that. Like, when you talk about, potential fit there, and opportunity, right? Like, Adam Thielen is no longer, it just feels like the opportunity, the pathway for offensive involvement is going to be there. But also just like that fit alongside Justin Jefferson, not having to be the main guy and being able to spread some of that offense out a bit, feels like it could benefit Jordan Addison tremendously. And if you covered up, his size, and you covered up maybe his 40-yard dash time because you thought it was going to be a little bit better, like he projected as, I think as good a wide receiver as Jackson Smith and Jigba, who was like the runaway favorite. Those two, I don't think were as far out as you would have expected them to be.
Yeah, you already have a Minnesota offense that basically runs a lot of 12 personnel with the tight end, and then 2-3 wide receivers in the mix as well. I'm going to use a term that fantasy people know all the time, and that's vacated targets, right? Over 100 targets the last 3 years, or for Adam Thielen, I'm sorry, 95 in 2021, but that was because he only played 13 games. We're talking about a guy that is in a prime position in this offense to be able to be plug and play. It was part of the reason that I think I took Minnesota at like 8-1 to draft Jackson Smith and Jigba, only because of his propensity to play in the slot. I thought they were going to move up to get somebody like that, but if you have Addison available on your board, he can step right in. So plus 1,600, plus 1,700, I think that's a great play. It's one that I'm already on as well. And then what about on the defensive side for Rookie of the Year? Will Anderson, the clear-cut favorite, although it's actually a little bit mixed. You can find him as high as 5-1. I think that's where he's currently listed over at Caesars. Jalen Carter actually has the same odds at Caesars, so there's a lot of movement towards him, but you can get him currently at 8-1. Tyree Wilson in that same range. Devin Witherspoon, Christian Gonzalez, good big physical corner to go to New England. I think you have some really intriguing names at the top of this list for defensive rookies. Is there anyone that catches your eye?
I like Devin Witherspoon. I think he's probably out of all of these players. He's at plus 900 on DraftKings Sportsbook. But Devin Witherspoon, in terms of his field processing, in terms of his like game speed and understanding of the field, like, it feels like he's going to slot right in to the Seattle Seahawks defense. It's going to be probably seamless. And they've generated some other playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. He doesn't have to be out there on an island defending the pass, which still could probably handle it. But, I mean, he's just, I think, more advanced than most of the other corners in this class. We're coming off another year where we saw Sauce Gardner win defensive rookie of the year. Like, we're on a quarterback run. Let's roll with it. But I think the other playmakers that Seattle has on defense are going to complement his skill set pretty well. You're not going to have to ask him to do too much, but I think he's too good not to be a big part of this defense right out of the gate. And I think he's just too smart not to make those strides in year one.
And for anybody that's watching that's just curious as to where Felix Anudike Uzoma is located, he's as low as 18-1 at FanDuel, is as high as 30-1 at Caesars. If you're looking for another Kansas City pass rusher, if you want to go with the local kid here in Kansas City, you're going to want to shop around those lines a little bit to see if you can find some value. Okay, this has been awesome. I've been taking advantage of your time over the course of this show, but it's because I love talking football with you. I always learn something every time that we have an opportunity to hang out. Where can people find your work? I know it's over at Gaming Society, but it almost feels like you're everywhere these days.
Yeah, a little bit of everywhere. You can follow me on Twitter at Kate Majdziuk. It's M-A-G-D-Z-I-U-K. Super, super simple, super spelling, super simple spelling. Woo, that was tough to say. But yeah, you can find my work over at thegamingsociety.com. I co-host a podcast called Ball Blast Fantasy Football. Also do the Locked On Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast. So find my work a little bit of everywhere and see what's coming up next, because it's going to be a fun off season. I hope to be welcomed back by the Kansas City fan base here at some point to keep talking football, because this was a blast.
It's an open invitation. Come down, bring Michelle. We'll have barbecue. We'll have beers. It'll be a great time. If there's one thing that KC understands and represents, it's good hospitality. So would love to have you down here at any point to come hang out. That's Kate Majdziuk, Gaming Society. Again, thanks to everybody for joining us on the pod today for Benny and the Bets. By the way, if you are listening to this pod or watching this pod on our KC and Chiefs channel, thanks so much for being a part of this. You can go ahead and subscribe to Benny and the Bets on our YouTube channel as well. It's KC Betting, and also wherever you get your podcasts as well. So for Cade, for executive producer Jordan Foote, I am Ben Heisler. May all of your best bets hit, and we will be back again next week with a brand spanking new edition of Benny and the Bets. Until then, so long for now.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.